Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us come to church tonight. We thank you for the freedom that we have, and we ask you, Lord, to protect that freedom. We thank you for our health to be here, Lord. So many folks in nursing homes or maybe at home shut in, they love to be here, love to be able to come to church. And Lord, we thank you that we have the health to be here. Lord, I pray that everything that happens tonight will be pleasing to you and honoring to your name. Lord, just help me as I divide the word of God. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, help us to receive it. Help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you as a result of being here tonight. Lord, we commit this time to you. Lord, it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning when you woke up, how many of you love mornings? You're morning people. God bless your heart. How many of you are more night owls? Okay. Is there anybody just kind of pretty much in between? Okay, a few of you are in between. Amy will claim that I corrupted her, that she used to be more of a morning person, and I just don't buy into that blaming thing at all, do you? But this morning when you woke up, whether you're a morning person or a night owl or whatever, when you woke up, you made some decisions. You made some choices, right? Now, one thing about Christianity, God allows us to make choices. We can choose to trust Jesus as our Savior. The Holy Spirit's convicting us. We can choose to be saved. But even once we're saved, we still have a choice, right? I mean, he doesn't make us robots or puppets. But we have choices to make. So when you woke up this morning, you made a physical choice about what clothes to put on. Now, some of you said, "Preacher, I just made a choice that I was going to keep wearing the same clothes I slept in as long as I could during the day, and I just slipped something else on here maybe to come to church." But you made a choice to put something on this morning, right? Now, as every morning, spiritually as well, we need to make the decision to put on the right stuff, okay? So we make the choice spiritually as well, right? Now, if you're like most people, when you wake up, the last thing on your mind might be spirituality because you're focused on the day ahead. But we as Christians really ought to make sure that that's part of what our thoughts in the morning, right? We need to say, now, what do I need to put on spiritually? And just like I put on this jacket, which I am taking off very quickly, but just like I put on this jacket, spiritually in the morning, you need to make the decision to put on the new man, to put on the new woman that's basically Scripture talks about. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We've been in a series in this wonderful chapter, and we're going to read it again. We're going to read the chapter again. Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, I'd really appreciate you pulling it out. I still am one of those old-fashioned kind of guys. I still would like to encourage you to bring your Bible. Number one, it's a testimony. And number two, it's a whole lot less distracting than, I know some people use phones. I know we got the monitors, which are good. But I still would encourage you to bring your Bible. There's nothing like looking it up in your own Bible as far as I'm concerned. And phones sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get a text right in the middle of trying to do something spiritual. And so if you would bring your Bible, and that way you don't get a text right in the middle of your verses, okay? So, all right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ," writing to the Colossian Christians, right? The Colossian church, right? "So if ye then be risen with Christ," who is risen with Christ? The saved, right? We're risen with Christ, dead to old self, living to Christ, that is. It says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." It says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now, part number one of this sermon series out of Colossians chapter 3. Remember, we looked at we are citizens of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven, okay? You might say my residence is, and give the address, and the city and the state, that's fine. That's our temporary residence. But our citizenship really is in heaven. Now, of course, I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm not one of those. False religions believe in not being a citizen of any country, and they'll not stand up for our country. They'll not defend our country. Some false religions. Well, I'm not saying that at all. But if you look at it, really, if you know Jesus, our citizenship is truly in heaven. So we are citizens of heaven. So act like it, think like it, and we'll soon be with the Lord. And that was part number one of this sermon series that we looked at. Verse 5, it says, "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." It says, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Says, "In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." So we looked at those verses under what I used to be. If we went around the room and we asked people, what did you used to be? Or what did you used to be involved in? Now, if you're a child of God, many of those used to be's are still supposed to be used to be's, right? That's what I used to be. Not what I am, but what I used to be. That's what I used to do. That's what I used to covet. That's what I used to go after. That's what used to occupy my time. But not anymore. So that was part two, what I used to be. It says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Now that was part three last Wednesday. Put off the old man, put off the old stuff. Put off the old stuff. Now, it would kind of be nice in some ways if the instant we were saved, we automatically went, boom, shakalaka, I'm perfect. You know, but that's not the way it works. We're still in this world. I saw a guy's t-shirt this week. It says, it had a picture of the world. I assume he may have been a Christian. I've had a little bit more opportunity, maybe even talk to him a little bit. But he had a picture of the world. It says, of it, let's see, how was it? Of it, but not like it. What's the verse that says, I'm in the world, but not of the world. That's what it said. In the world, but not of the world. And that's what we're supposed to be, right? It'd be nice if the minute we were saved, the instant we were saved, doesn't work that way. We still got a lot of bad influences around us. We still got that old sin nature. And contrary to what some people believe, that sin nature will not be eradicated out of your life completely, 100%, until we're with the Lord and we have our brand new bodies. So last week we looked at put off the old man or the old stuff. And I illustrated that by taking the jacket off. So we need to put these off. But tonight we're looking at things we should put on every day. Seriously, we ought to consciously think. When we put on our clothes for the day, what should I put on spiritually? We're going to be looking at just a verse or two tonight as we continue. It says, verse 10. It says, "And have put on the new man," put on the new man, "which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Now, if you look at verse 10, that's where we're going to park tonight in verse 10, actually. It seems like there's an awful lot in that verse. And it's kind of like a lot of verses in Scripture. You read it like, wow, that kind of, what exactly is that saying? So we're going to kind of unpack it and talk about it part by part. Y'all happy? Is my hair really messed up? I've had a really bad hair day. Is it really messed up today? Have you ever had one of those days that really nothing went like, I mean, not like horrible, but nothing really went like you planned it? I even forgot my glasses, so I'm using cheaters tonight because I forgot my glasses. I didn't throw them in the car. I thought I had everything, but no. So So it's just kind of been one of those days. But y'all are looking at me like it's been one of those days. So did you have one of those days too, maybe? Okay, all right. Put on the new man. Title of the message tonight, put on the new man. Point number one, the new man came into being at salvation. The new man came into being at salvation. Notice what it says. It says, and have put on the new man. Now, as best I can tell, that have put on is past tense, right? So ultimately, spiritually speaking, when do you put on the new man? Now, every day we need to think about it, right, in a practical sense, and clothe ourselves with the things we ought to have on our back, if you will, in our lives, if you will. But in a positional way with Christ, when did you become a new man or a new woman? At salvation, right? Past tense. He's writing to Christians. He says, and have put on the new man. Past tense. When did you do that? At salvation. Now, I know I shared this, and it goes right along with the whole theme, really, of this chapter, the old versus the new, the old versus the new. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, look at that verse. Notice what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now, that's a Christian, right? If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you say, what becomes new? What becomes new at salvation? Well, our heart is made new, right? Our mind is made new, right? Our goals are completely changed, right? Our attitude should change. Our destination changes. Our purpose changes. All about that. You know, I found out a lot of people that call themselves Christians, they're not really saved. And when you're around them a whole lot, you can tell that they don't have the same ideas we do because they are not made as a new man or a new woman. They've never been completely changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that's a good change that we can have, right? We need that change, right? Every human being is offered that change, but we need to make that choice to become a brand new creation at salvation. It says even in this passage that we've looked at before, the idea of past tense. There it was, have put on, but look at back at verse 7. It says in the same chapter, in the which ye also walked sometime. Past tense, right? Verse 7, when ye lived, past tense, in them. Verse 8, but now, like something happened in the past, but now, this is the way we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to put this stuff on in a daily, practical sense. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have what? Put off the old man with his deeds. Past tense. Again, we're supposed to be new in our heart, new in our mind, new in our thoughts, really new in our actions, new in our goals, new in our ambitions. And sometimes you kind of wonder, when you talk to someone and they profess Jesus, and let me tell you, sometimes in churches, when there's problems in churches and disagreements in churches, I've been doing this for a while, I figured out that sometimes it's because you have some lost people involved in the discussion, and they don't have the same goals, and they don't have the same ideas and the same heart, the new heart that they ought to have because they've never been saved. I've been in Sunday school class before, and I've been teaching, and I remember someone in my Sunday school class years ago, and it seemed like any time I asked a question, they always had the wrong answer, and they weren't that hard of questions. You know, we'd like read a verse and say, what do you think that means? He'd always, and I really thought later, I'm really not sure if that person was truly born again or not. Because even when you're saved, you become a new creature, you have a new understanding, right? And that's the reason a lot of people say, oh, that Bible is so hard to understand. That old King James, you can't understand anything in that book. And, you know, I just don't, you know, just like, well, partly sometimes it's because those people are not truly born again. I mean, this is call it what it is sometimes, right? Number one, the new man came into being at salvation. You know, a lot of people, I think the only, when we were first married, living in Connecticut, I was working as a ground test engineer at Sikorsky Aircraft, the helicopter place. She was working in finance, and I think that was the first new cars we ever had, right? We bought a nice car, 1987 Buick Regal. I mean, nice car. That was our, like, travel home car. You know, I can tell you how much we paid for it. I mean, it's nothing compared today what people pay for cars. But anyway, brand new. You know, you get in there. And the second car was our back and forth because we lived 45 minutes from work. It was a little Nissan Sentra. It didn't even have a radio in it. And you had a stick shift and all that. And it just kept lasting. But that was our two. And you get in either car, though, guess what? New car smell, right? I mean, and people enjoy that so much, even if you got an old beater, an old junk car, you get an air freshener, new car smell. And you put it in there and you go, just like a new car. And there's something about being new, right? That smell. When you trusted Jesus, in a sense, you got a new smell. You got a new creation smell. You know what I mean? Everything about us should have changed positionally because we are right with the Lord because of salvation. Our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. We know where we're going. That attitude, that thought, that goal in life changed positionally. The new man came into being at salvation. Point number two tonight. But the new man still needs renewed. The new man still needs renewed. You say, where's that at in the verse there? Well, let's find it. I love just preaching to a verse or a passage of scripture because you don't have to be bringing it to do it. You know, you just go boom, boom, boom. There it is. And it's a good thing because I wouldn't quite, you know, people come up with some of these preachers on television. They're not preaching the Bible. They're preaching their own thoughts and their own opinions and all that. And I'm like, you know, this health and wealth stuff. I'm glad I can just look at God's word and say, let's just look at that verse. And right there it is. Guess what? Not only does the new man come into existence, past tense, at the point of salvation, but the new man needs renewed. Look at that verse. And have put on, past tense, put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. Now again, I guess you'd kind of look at it kind of like positionally, you're a new man or a new woman. But practically, every day, we need to be renewed as a new man or a new woman. Does that kind of make sense? You know, the scripture this isn't the only place it talks about being renewed. And it's interesting that this, and we talked about past tense when we were saved, this actually is present tense. So it really what it's saying is, and I put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge, being present tense. As a Christian, we ought to be being renewed in our walk with the Lord every day. We need it every day. Some of you old rotten rascals, some of you say, preacher, we're no more rotten than you are. You're absolutely right. We're all rotten rascals, right? And we need to be renewed in our walk with the Lord. It says in knowledge. Now, one commentary I looked at in particular said a deep personal knowledge of and fellowship with Christ. We need to be renewed every single day with a close walk with the Lord. Do you know what a lot of people are missing in their life? They're missing the Bible. I mean, every day they go through a whole 24-hour period without looking at the Word of God. And we can all be guilty of that. I don't want to stand up here and say, well, I always have 100%. All. No, there's sometimes crazy days like today. It just doesn't seem to happen when it should, right? And sometimes that happens. And I'm not making excuses, but I'm saying we need to spend time in the Word of God. That will renew our mind. We're bombarded all the time with all the world's ideas. Really, we are. It doesn't matter. Any media that you get, any media, from magazine to television to computer to whatever, ads or whatever, you are bombarded with all of the things of the world. But we need to be bombarded by the Word of God. You know, the Proverbs challenge wasn't just a clever little thing that somebody came up with. I mean, the whole idea behind it was, let's get in the Word of God. Because when we get in the Word of God, we're renewed. If you need kind of a picture of the idea of renewed, What if I had a car, and we don't do a great job of this, but what if I had a car that never, ever saw a car wash, never, ever got washed down, never, ever had a garden hose or a automatic car wash at all? Eventually, it's going to, you see them on the road every once in a while. They kind of got like green fungus growing on them. I mean, have you ever seen those cars? It looks like it's been parked under a tree for 10 years. Sometimes there's like, if we don't renew our mind in the Word of God, you know, and get that gross stuff off and get that scum off and get that moss off and that dirt off. We do that by looking at God's Word and spending time with God. You know, it's amazing to me that we have time for everything in life, but we don't have time for the God of the universe. Wow. And this is not a God that's distant, that doesn't love us, that's out there absent somewhere. This is a God that says, I love you so much, I sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. I mean, it's a God that wants a close relationship. If you don't have a close relationship with God, guess what? It's not God's problem. It's not God's fault. It's because we're not taking time to renew ourselves in the Word of God. Renew ourselves in prayer to the Lord. And you know, we want to offer these little quick, Lord, I need this. I mean, sometimes we treat God like a heavenly bellhop. We don't have a personal day-to-day relationship. I mean, you know what you as a parent would say if your kid never came around unless he needed something. You'd say, oh, the time you ever come around is when you need something. And we as Christians sometimes do the exact same thing. We ought to be so close to the Lord that we can offer those prayers up quick because we have a close relationship with Him. And not just when we need something. I mean, we got so many things to pray for. And praying for our own walk with the Lord and reading God's Word and pouring the Word of God into our heart and life. You see, the new man still needs renewed on a day-to-day basis. It says, which is renewed, which means is being renewed. And it says, in knowledge, getting to know the Lord more and more and more and more and more every day. How better could you spend your time than in the Word of God? How better could you spend your time than in prayer to the Lord? How better can you spend your time than spending time in God's house in the knowledge and getting to know God better through teachers and preachers and singing and all the things that we do? Again, it's not the only place that the idea of being renewed is mentioned. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, boy, isn't that the truth? Our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Wow. Day by day. I like that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, or because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but notice this, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, renewing of our mind. How do we discern even the perfect will of God? Again, in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit using the Word of God to give us understanding about the will of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. A similar passage to found in Colossians. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How are you renewed? By spending time in the Word of God. Spending time in prayer. Spending time on that relationship. You know, we get sometimes so concerned about human relationships, we forget about the most important relationship that we have with God. And believe me, a lot of times the reason our relationship with one another is not where it ought to be, it's because our relationship with God is not where it ought to be. I remember telling our administrative board fairly recently, you know, guess what? If we're all in tune with the tuning fork of God, we'll be in tune with one another. And if you're in tune with God and the person that you're either married to or your children or your grandparents or parents, whatever, if they're in tune with God and you're in tune with God, you'll be in tune with each other, right? So a lot of times the reason we don't have the relationships we ought to have is because we don't have a relationship with God we ought to have. Put on the new man. The new man came into being at salvation, but the new man needs renewed. Third and last point. You ready for this? Third and last point. Do I hear an amen out there? The new man's goal is to be like the Lord. The new man's goal is to be like the Lord. You see, we're taking that verse, we're just kind of unpacking it little by little and trying to understand it. It says in that verse, and have put on the new man. Past tense. When we got saved, we put a new man on because we're new creatures in Christ. We got saved. We got born again. Then it says, which is renewed in knowledge. Our minds, our hearts, our lives are renewed in knowledge and getting to know God more and more and more every day by spending time in His Word and prayer and all that. And then the last part, it says, after the image of Him that created him. Now, the Him and the Him, if I'm understanding that right, it says, after the image of Him, that's the Lord's image, right? You say, who actually did the creating? God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us, plural, make man in our own image, right? Genesis 1:26-27. The idea is let us make man. And so the him there, the image of him would be God or the Lord, let's say, that created him. That would be us. The new man's goal is to be like the Lord. We were created in perfection in the Garden of Eden, right? I mean, they were perfect at that point, right? And by image of God, it's not like a lot of people get all, especially the world gets all confused. You know, we look like, physically, we look like. No, we have personality, we have emotion, we're created in the image of God, and God is an eternal being, we are an eternal being. And all of that that we had was perfectly connected to the image of God at that point. But guess what? Adam and Eve sinned, and don't get too upset with them because you and I would have done the same thing. And that image was what? Damaged or marred or effaced, right? Even look at Genesis 9:6. Look at this. Whoso sheds man's blood, sheddeth man's blood. By man shall his blood be shed. It's talking about murder. This is a verse that does support capital punishment, by the way. This is pre-law, before the law. It's not under the law. This is before the law. You say, I just don't believe in capital punishment. That won't cost you anything extra because that's not the type of the message or anything. But it says, for in the image of God made he man. So you see the sin coupled with the image of God? And you say, well, how can someone kill somebody? Because that image, that perfect image that we were created in, has been marred because of sin. James 3:9. It's talking about the tongue. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, or men, which are made after what? The similitude or the image of God. So again, we're talking about sin against people that are made in the image of God. Do you see that image has been marred? But can I share some good news before we wrap this thing up? The image, that image, will be perfectly restored someday. At the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:49. 1 Corinthians 15:49. Now this is like the resurrection chapter. It talks about the body that we're going to have and all that. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly bodies, right? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Look at 1 John 3:2. May clear this up a little bit. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear. Is that the trumpet I hear? When he shall appear, we shall be like him. back to that perfect image again of being like the Lord. For we shall see him as he is. You know, you sometimes get this more and more as you get older, some of you. You are the splitting image of your mom. Or you look just like your dad. And I look a lot like my dad. And the older I get and I look in the mirror, I go, I look more like him all the time. And in earth, that can be kind of sometimes a good thing and a bad thing. But it's always a good thing when we look more and more like the Lord. And that's to be our goal. Our goal of the new man or the new woman is to be like the Lord more and more. That's a good thing. Tonight, we've talked about put on the new man. And I'm not going to put it back on because it's pretty warm in here tonight. But just like putting on that jacket, just like you choose to put something on in the morning, we're supposed to put on the new man. And tonight, we've looked at three different things about the new man. First of all, the new man came into being at salvation. The new man. If you know the Lord Jesus, that's when you became a new man, a new woman, a new person in the Lord. Number two we looked at tonight, but the new man still needs to be renewed. It talks about it in knowledge, in that relationship with the Lord. We need to make sure that we polish, if you will, that new man. That we renew. Put some wax on every once in a while. Get it shined up by spending time in God's Word and by praying to the Lord and having a actually taking time for the Lord. Amen. And the third point tonight, the new man's goal is to be like the Lord. The new man's goal is to be like the Lord. Once we've been a Christian for a while, there ought to be a definite resemblance between us and the Lord. And I'm not talking about a physical resemblance. In the way we approach things, and we as preachers sometimes are seems like pretty disappointed at times. It's kind of like, you know, that person's not really acting like the Lord. And I'm sure you've had your disappointments with people that say, I'm a Christian, but then they don't act like the Lord. Let me ask you, are you looking more and more like the Lord? Every day? And are you being renewed? A part of the reason might be because you're not being renewed day by day. You need some polish on you. You need some good old washing water. You need some good old wax in your life. To get that old mold and grit and dirt out of your life and you just let it accumulate, you do that by spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, just as you would a relationship with someone. He's there. You can't see him, but he's there nonetheless. Are you being renewed? If not, I'd encourage you. That's the best advice I can give you tonight, Christian. Spend time being renewed by looking at God's Word, praying to the Lord sincerely, and let's slow down a little bit and quit always being in such a rush when we do it. Are you being renewed? How much do you really look like the Lord? If you don't like, when you look in the mirror, and again, I'm not talking physically, but when you look in the mirror and you say, you know what, I'm not anywhere near like the Lord, I can tell you it's probably because you're not being renewed day by day. You're not spending time in the Word and in prayer. And if anyone here tonight is lost, or anyone listening in tonight do not know the Lord as Savior, do you want to become a new man or a new woman in the Lord? He'll make you a brand new creature, a brand new creation. Man, I know some of the people, I'm sure if you're listening in, you're lost, you'd say, man, I don't like what I have in my life. I don't like what's going on in my life. I don't like what I see when I look in the mirror. You can become a brand new person by trusting Jesus as your Savior. That's the only way. You can go to every counselor in the country and still be the same old you. You can read every self-help book that ever has been written and still be the same old you. The best way to become brand new, is if you don't know Jesus as Savior, is trust Him as your Savior. He'll make you brand new creature. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Let me ask you, are you being renewed as a new man or a new woman? Are you being renewed day by day by spending time in God's Word and spending time in prayer? Just in fellowship, getting to know God better. If not, God is speaking to your heart right now. In the silence of the moment, would you just pray to the Lord? Maybe your prayer needs to start, Lord, forgive me for not spending more time in your Word and praying and fellowshipping with you. And then maybe say, Lord, help me to spend that time. Life's busy, but help me, Lord. Help me to spend time in your Word and in prayer so that I can be renewed. The new man, that is, could be renewed every day. Second question is related to that. How much do you look like the Lord? How much do you really look like the Lord in the way you think, in the way you act, the way you spend your time, the way you spend your resources? If the Lord is speaking to you, just talk to Him a little bit about that. And all of God's people said,